We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Alrighty, so while you guys are standing on your feet and coming forth, we're gonna explain what water baptism is. So water baptism is literally something that the Lord created so that we know that when we go in this water and come out, we're never the same. Amen. We're fully changed. Come on, we're never the same and fully changed. So lives will be transformed today, and they will never be the same. Aren't you guys ready to praise? All right, great.
Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise glorious. You are glorious. My God, you reign. And my God, you reign forever and ever. How great your name. Your love remains forever and ever. You say the same. Shout it out, shout it out. If you know He's good, sing it out, for the Lord is good. Shout it out loud, you are glorious. And glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise glorious and glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise glorious. And shine, Jesus, you shine for all the world to see. You are glorious. And shine, Jesus, you shine for all the world to see. You are glorious. Sing it out, guys. And shine, Jesus, you shine for all the world to see. You are glorious. And shine, Jesus. Jesus, you shine for all the world to see. You are glorious. You are glorious. You are glorious. Shout it out in glorious. Make it loud in Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise glorious. In glorious. Shout it out in glorious. Make it loud in Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise glorious. You are glorious.
Hallelujah. Come on and give God a shout of praise. Come on and give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know that Jesus is the best name in the world? When you call on the name of Jesus, everything changes. When you call on the name of Jesus, everything changes. Lives are transformed. Your battles are won when you call on the name of Jesus. So come on, let's just call him just one time. Say, Jesus! Come on, there's more than 10 people in here. Say, Jesus!
Jesus!
Hallelujah. And if you know this song, come on and sing it with us.
No other God can be called a Father. No other God can be called a friend. No other God can be called Redeemer.
Yeah.
No other God's coming back again.
Say how we love.
And how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. And how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. No other God can be called a friend.
Yeah.
No other God can be called Redeemer. No other God is coming back again.
Say how we love.
And how we love your name, Jesus. And how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name.
Sing how we love.
And how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name.
Lord, we love your heart.
You're the beautiful one. We love your name.
Sing how we love you.
And how we love you, King of Kings. How we love you, Lord of Lords. How we love you.
Come on, say King of Kings.
King of Kings.
Lord of Lords,
how
your holy name. You came and brought us into the reign of grace. Come on and sing that.
We love the fragrance of your holy name.
Sing, you came and brought us. You're the only one we praise, Lord. We sing glory to the righteous one. Hallelujah. Come on and sing that again. Just sing glory to the righteous one.
Glory to the
last time, sing glory to the righteous one.
Glory to the righteous
one. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on and sing, oh. And the oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other
fountain,
no other fountain, no.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Come on and sing. Say, this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on and sing. hands and sing low. Flow on the sky, Lord, you make me white as snow.
It's nothing but the blood of Jesus,
and this is all my hope and peace. It's nothing but the blood
of Jesus.
Hallelujah. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing low. And oh, precious is the blood. Sing how precious is the flow. Ah, yeah. Lord, you make me white as snow. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's nothing but the blood of experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more.
of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Come flood this place and
fill the atmosphere. Seek your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
In your presence, Lord. Sing Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill me. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
I said it looked like I peed myself. The anointing is very strong in here this morning. Just lift your hands up. God's got a special blessing for you. Lord, I release the anointing in a stronger dimension into your house this morning. I release that presence, oh God, from the back of this sanctuary, Lord, just like a wave to the front. Let your presence be felt. Your love be experienced. Jesus, for only you can change your life. There he is. Go. God is healing people right now. Come on, receive your healing. More Jesus. More Jesus. I thank you that you're real, that you're not a religion. And I thank you that we're not part of a church. We're part of the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, come on, come on. More Jesus. Lord, there are people here that have never experienced your presence, your reality. There's some that has been so many years, Jesus, they're getting dry, and I ask in your name that you touch their lives. We declare it just like Paul did, Jesus, in the book of Corinthians. We don't come to them with the power and the with the words of man's wisdom, but with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that their faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. And Holy Spirit, we can't do any of that. That's you. Make yourself so real that doubt is not even an option. More. Come on, get hungry, get hungry, get hungry. More. Oh, there he is. Go, Jesus. More. You want more, Jesus? If you're getting nervous in his presence, it's because you need to change something in your life. Some of you got some sins that you're playing with as Christians, and the Holy Spirit's putting his finger on them right now. Respond to him. You'll find that he'll give you that joy back that you lost. If somebody on my right, the left hand of the sanctuary, you're struggling so desperately in your walk with the Lord, and it's because of the person you're hanging with. You like them, you've grown up with them, but every time you start talking about Jesus, they contradict that and actually tell you that you're crazy. And the Holy Spirit wants you to realize that that's an individual you're going to have to extract from your life, because they're not going to ever build you. Pray for them, love them, but you'll have to stop hanging out with them. Jesus, we love you. Do what only you can do. And somebody's either lost their job, or you know you're going to lose your job, and you're finding that your life is going to get unstable. You've actually had thoughts of suicide running through your head, that it'd be better off. And the Lord wants you to know that that is never from him, that he's already prepared an answer for you. So rest in him and he'll bring it to fruition. Thank you. It's a weird type of pressure in the middle of your chest. I want to say it's heavy, but it's not heavy, and it's almost like menthol. When you breathe, it's almost feeling like menthol in your lungs. And I'm not sure what that means, but you and God does, and I just do and release the Holy Spirit to do whatever that will of heaven is for that situation in Jesus' name. God, our hearts are after you. Lord, there are some in the room, like I said earlier, I just sensed it in my spirit. They're struggling. They're always trying to find something new and do something fresh. But the Lord's telling you got to get back to the basics, what you know is right. And you build a building block on solid ground. You don't build it in sticks. Jesus, we just want you to know, Holy Spirit, we need you. Thank you for dwelling inside of us. Thank you that we're not alone. Thank you that you care, that you're with us always. I know some of you are wondering what I'm waiting for. I really don't know. I just know it's not time to move forward yet. That means the Holy Spirit's doing something in people. And he might not be doing anything in you, so what you need to do is pray for the one he's doing it in. Amen? Because they came here needing, and they're wanting. Someone's been getting sharp headaches in the right side of your temple, in the back edge of the temple, more towards the ear. It's not even the pencil size. It's even smaller than a pencil size sensation piercing into your head. In the name of Jesus, if you reveal it, you heal it. Go. In Jesus' name. We love you, God. We thank you that your church isn't about just coming in and doing our little religious stance and heading out. But if you're not here, we're not coming. Because we're not interested in religion. We want you. We desire more of Jesus. Lord, there are people in the room who don't even know what that means. But they're feeling that tug. The heart's starting to beat harder than it was before. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you. Respond to him. How do you respond to him, you said? Say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what's going on, but whatever you want to do in my life, I lay myself down as a living sacrifice. Do whatever you want. In the name of Jesus. Jesus is calling somebody. Hallelujah. Answer the phone. Have a little talk with Jesus. That's an old song. Amen. Yep, Jesus on the main line. Hallelujah. Man, I don't know about you. Can you sense the Holy Spirit, or is it just me? Listen, I'll enjoy if it's just me and you're just going to have to watch. But I don't believe it's just me. I believe he's moving in amongst you. He's touching some of you. And we just need to learn how to respond to him. Amen. You got to respond to the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. He's not going to push you and make you. He'll draw you and touch you, but you have to respond to him. That's how God moved. If you're not responding, if you're just sitting there with your hands in your pocket, but in your heart you're not responding, he'll pass you by. Do you remember, and you've heard me talk about it before, remember the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible says that they were thronging Jesus. That means there were so many people around him, they were bumping up against him, they were all around him. But one woman said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. That woman illegally crawled as far as she could. I don't know how she got to him. But she touched his garment, and the Bible says the anointing or unction came out of Christ and literally dried up the blood that she had. She was bleeding in the female portion for, I believe, 20 years, and had spent all the money she had. She had no more money. And guess what happened? Jesus stopped the whole crowd and said, who touched me? And the disciples said, what do you mean, who touched you? Can't you see all these people around you? He says, no. But somebody touched me. Some of you got to touch Jesus, man. Everybody's thronging, but are you going to touch him? Because somebody else can get it, but you need it. So you got to push yourself in. You got to push yourself in. Well, you know, I don't like the front of the church. You know, it just makes me uncomfortable. Really? If it was a rock concert, you'd be up here. Come on now. We just have so many foolish excuses, don't we? Well, you know, I don't want anybody to see me. You're right. That's why you're sitting in the back. Now, listen, I'm not knocking the folks in the back, but sometimes you're going to have to move forward. Because honestly, if you think the presence of God is as strong in the back as it is in the front, you are not being honest with yourself. The presence of God is stronger in the front than in the back. Well, how come is that? Why is that? Because when people want something, they move towards it. Amen? Some of you want to leave, and you want to move towards your car. But if you stay sitting where you are, you're never going to drive. Can I hear an amen? If you want God, sometimes you got to move forward to get what you want. You got to push in. Preach the whole message on push. Sometimes you got to push. Amen? Some of you don't want God enough, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit, through this moment, will just put a fresh hunger in your heart for Jesus. Amen? Father, we just say we love you. We need you. Our hearts are after you. Lord, as this service continues, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you teach us, you train us, you develop us. Because, God, we don't want to be just a religious person. We want to be a son and daughter of God. We want to act like you, God. Jesus, you said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus, you prayed in John 17. Lord, make them one as we are one. God, let people see us and then see you. So train us, teach us, mold us, develop us, extract things from us. Whatever you got to do, we are the clay on the potter's wheel. Make us a beautiful vessel for your glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. On your way back to your chair, can you go meet somebody you don't know and say, good morning, I love God. Come on, tell somebody, I love God. I can't hear you. I love God. Come on, tell somebody this morning. Tell somebody.
Everybody, grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss.
To invite them to service with you next Sunday while Brother Tiff is here with us. He is currently at the Ithaca campus this morning, and he'll be doing services up there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. So if you want to go listen to him, You can go up to Ithaca, but we want to challenge you. Everyone pick this up. Let's see it. Who's got it? Who's got it? Who's got it? There we go. Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to write 5 names on it, right? We're going to be inviting people to service next week, 9 and 11, with Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth. It's going to be awesome. He's an amazing man of God, and you're not going to want to miss it. Also, real quickly, we have all the holiday fun coming up with parades and all that kind of jazz. So if you want to volunteer, you want to be a part of the parades or help out with any of those, you can just contact Carrie Jackson right over here. And I almost forgot our visitors. If you're a visitor in the house today and you haven't yet gotten a visitor packet, do you mind just waving your hand? We have a gift for you. Wave it up high if you haven't gotten something. We have some right up front over here. Awesome. We're so excited for you to be in the house with us this morning. And we have Pastor Cody for offering. Oh, video announcements first. Sorry.
Hey family, we want to remind you about Next Steps classes. They're happening every single week. Whatever campus you're attending, make sure you go to histabernacle.com, find out what classes are happening, and join a class today so you can grow in your walk in relationship with the Lord.
Are you new to the church? If so, we have something that will help you so much in knowing who you are, knowing why we exist, and knowing what we're here to accomplish together. Growth Track is every single Sunday morning. We'd love to invite you to join this so you can be a part of the family and you can have all of your questions answered. Every single Sunday morning, you can sign up at the Information Center or right online at histabernacle.com.
Life is not meant to be lived alone. That's why at His Tabernacle, we created groups just for you. The perfect place to live and grow in your church community. To find out how you can get involved, visit us online or out front at the information desk.
Good morning, guys. Now is my time to come out. How you doing today? All right, way too quiet, way too quiet. How's everybody doing today? I just didn't hear a couple people in the back. How's everybody doing today? There we go. That's so much better. I'm just warming you up for Pastor. But we're going to go into a time of tithes and offerings. And I want to share, we have a testimony to share with you. So I'm going to have Kate and her 2 daughters come out. Can you guys put your hands together for them real quick? Come on. I love hearing what God is doing.
Good morning, family. How is everybody? So I'm going to start with a little testimony that I didn't prepare this morning. Knowing that I was going to touch someone with my testimony this morning. Sorry. Okay. All right. The enemy had a man in a truck decide to drive the opposite direction on the highway this morning. The enemy tried to take us out. But you know what? We're here. Yay! We have 0 scratches on us. Our car is perfectly fine. And that is as close as God will ever let the enemy get to us. So, on to the real reason we're here. Okay. Financial testimonies. How many know in a garden you plant a seed, you get a plant? Okay. We have been planting seeds in the church with the desire for a harvest to bless people. And I got my harvest a few days ago. I just want to tell you, we pray over our seeds. We plant them with expectation. and we know our harvest is coming. So what had happened a few days ago, it was put on my heart to give to a family. This family is very dear to us. So I sowed into their life, knowing that somewhere the money would come. Later that day, a second family was put on my heart that needed quite a lot of stuff. Her husband fell out of his tree stand hunting and broke his back. He was the sole financial provider for the family, so they're in for a tough ride here in the journey ahead. I had just sown into a family, so I'm thinking my harvest had come. I can't give to this second family, but it just never left my mind. You know, like it beats on your heart and you can't stop thinking about this family, which were just acquaintances of ours. It wasn't like it was somebody I loved dearly that I felt the hurt for, but we decided to buy their Amazon wish list, the entire list. And I kid you not, 5 minutes after I hit place order, I got a check. I knew the check was coming, but I didn't expect it anytime soon. But 5 minutes later, I got a check, and I went home that day, and I added up what I had just sown into these two families, and I had $5.45 left over. Praise God for that, right? So on my heart, I wanted to give to one family. On God's heart, he wanted me to give to two. And he made that possible because we sowed expecting to be able to bless people. So a quick little search in the Bible, Matthew 5:45 left over, says, if you do this, you will be children who are truly like your Father in heaven. This is talking about if your enemy needs something, you give it to them. If someone asks you to borrow something or if they ask something from you, give it to them. So if you don't have the means or you think you don't have the means, give it to them. Plant a seed. Expect your harvest from God because he will show up every single time. And that enemy will get in these little crevices and you just continue to stomp him out. Praise God.
Come on, isn't God faithful? Hi, honey. Awesome. Today, we're going to receive the morning tithes and offerings. What that is, that's 10%, and that's simply returning it to God. Pastor's going to preach on it, so I'm not going to talk any more about it. But if you have your envelope, it's right there. If you don't know, there should be one on your seat. If you don't like to give via envelope, you can text to give or go right online to histabernacle.com/give. And this morning for our supernatural blessing, I'm going to have Buddy come and join you and share with you. Come on, Buddy, real quick. Come on.
Congratulations. Thank you, young man.
All right. All right, here we go, y'all. Let's get it. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. Let's go. I'm blessing my storehouse. And I'm blessing my basket. The blessing's gonna chase me down. They trip me up. Cause I'm a child of God. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Bring up your tithes and offerings. And if you are watching on live stream, you can text to give on your phone. Thank you.
Glorious, you are glorious.
your name. Your love remains forever and ever. You stay the same. Shout it out, shout it out. If you know he's good, sing it out, sing it out. For the Lord is good. Shout it out loud, you are glorious, glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise.
I am glad I'm serving Jesus. You know, honestly, I look at my life and how God has blessed us. And I'm watching, I was just, many of you don't know, but I just came back from Chicago last night. We went out there and we have a ministry. My wife and I have a ministry called Empowering Pastors and Empowering Pastors' Wives. And what we do is we actually have the phenomenal privilege of encouraging pastors. And my job, what I love to do, is I get to go into these churches that are wanting to grow to the next level. And I'm able to help the pastors, help the board, help the church, restructure them, and just encourage them to move forward. And I've been working with this one pastor. Yesterday was our last meeting, and I've been working with him for a year. And the church is literally exploding. They only had 3 parking spots left last Sunday. And so they're raising money for a new building. Now, this is a church of 350 people. They've already raised $750,000, and by next year, we'll have $1.2 million to be able to build a brand new building so they can house more people in their community. I don't know about you, that makes me very happy to see God's kingdom come, amen? Aren't you glad God's church is growing? Last week here, we had 780 people in-house on Sunday morning. We had 1,100 people, including those online, that were here last Sunday morning. They had over 160 in Ithaca. They had, I believe, 90 in Mansfield. And Canada is exploding to a position now to where they, praise God, were able to rent a whole other section of the building that they're in. In fact, Ithaca is another great blessing. We just obtained 1,200 more square feet at the Ithaca campus at such a rate. Now, if you know Ithaca at all, it's about $25 a square foot. We were able to get that extra 1,200 square feet for $8 a square foot. And that's going to allow us to grow that church. So everything God is doing, it's just so cool to watch. The church in Mexico, and I'm going to show you a video probably in 2 weeks. They've started taking down, we were able to send them $10,000. We sent them $10,000 to be able to help build the church in Mexico. And what they've had to do is the church has grown to 300 to 400 people every single Sunday morning, and they have a new highway being brought down. It's going to come right by the church, eliminates all of their parking. So what they're doing is they're tearing down their children's wing, and they're going to make that parking, and then they're going to go 2 stories, and the sanctuary will actually be on the 2nd story. So we were able to send them, are you ready? It sounds like a lot of money, almost 2 million pesos. That's a lot of money, you know. It really is. Listen, if you want a vacation, I'll take you to Campeche. Amen. We've been ministering this whole year on Next Level. How many of you know you got to go to the next level? Come on, turn to someone and say, stop being a slug. Man, so many people are the same people they were. Well, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's so dumb. Amen. Isn't that dumb? Well, you know, I only learn the hard way. Duh. You know, I mean, what can you say? You know, truthfully, we're in a position where we've got to make some decisions to grow up. Turn to someone and say, you got to grow up. Now, you got to say it nice, especially if it's your spouse. I mean, you got to go home with them. So we've got to make sure that we're growing up in Christ. We've got to make sure we don't stay babies. There's nothing worse than parting the whiskers to put in the pacifier. Can I hear an amen? That's right. And it's time for us as believers, to go to our next level. But the next level always means on being uncomfortable. And this is where people are challenged. They don't want to become uncomfortable. We want to remain, in our comfort zones. But if you remain in your comfort zone, you can't accelerate to where God wants to take you. Listen, you don't need faith if you can control everything in your life. I walk by faith and not by sight. Well, if you've got everything all set, then what do you need faith for? Listen, I'm convinced that most believers don't need God because they've corralled their whole life to run their own life. They just need Jesus because they don't want to go to hell. This is not about you going to heaven or hell, because by the way, when you got saved, you didn't get raptured to heaven immediately. We are to occupy till he comes. That means we live a life that shows heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in, on where? Earth, as it is in, come on earth, as it is in heaven. How do you get heaven to earth? Well, you get the people that now are called citizens of heaven. Those that have called and confessed Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We've gone from death to life. We're no longer religious folk. We're no longer folk that just live on the planet. But literally by the Holy Ghost, God dwells inside of us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Everything changes in our life the moment we get saved, or should change the moment we get saved. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And as believers, this is the transition that happens. Our next level is that you and I have been sent here as ambassadors from God. We are ambassadors from a different country. Well, what country? Remember, every king has to have a kingdom. Every kingdom has to have a constitution. Every constitution establishes the law. And you and I are dual citizens. We are citizens of here, this earth, but we are also citizens of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, we are supernaturally motivated to do the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. This world will never see heaven come to earth until the children of God start growing up. Ooh, come on now, I don't hear nothing. We're talking and we've been ministering about the next level in our finances. And it's amazing to me, as I was, actually it was really kind of funny. I'm on the plane last night, coming back from Chicago, getting ready, finalizing the message. And this dude comes and sits next to me in the chair. And he looks over at my iPad and it says tithing. And he starts to laugh. It's amazing to me how when you start talking about money, people get bent out of shape. Although your entire life is money. We were talking in the last 2 weeks about how most people are tethered by debt and how God does not want you owned by somebody else. Can I hear an amen or oh my? God wants you out of debt. Turn to someone and say, God wants you out of debt. Learning how to live out of debt is the key to freedom. You cannot be free if you're owned by somebody else. So God wants you to be out of debt. God desires you to be free and free indeed. God desires you to have more than enough. Turn to someone and say, poverty is never the mind of God. Was there poverty in the Garden of Eden? Is there poverty in heaven? What do we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what heaven is, God wants to bring in your life. He wants to bring you a relationship with him. He wants to bring you health in your body. He wants to bring you prosperity in your pocketbook. God wants to prosper you in all things and be in good health even as your soul prospers. God desires you to increase and not decrease. God is not trying to destroy you. God is trying to build you. And God wants you to be a person that knows how to handle his finances. Can I hear an amen? For we are stewards of God. We don't own anything. We are stewards of God's kingdom. When we learn this, then it takes pressure off us. What do you mean it takes pressure? Well, remember, if you own it, when you start getting low on it, who's got to get the stress for it? But when God is the owner, the word there in the Hebrew is called Adonai. You see, he is called the Lord. The word Lord there means Adonai or the owner. You see, this is where we have to have a transition. See, if you're just a Christian because you don't want to go to the lake of fire, well, I don't blame you. I don't want to go there anyways. But the fact is that that's not what this is about. This is about you and I growing up and knowing God and living within the Constitution. Everyone has a Constitution. Raise your hand. Raise your Constitution to the air. You got the Constitution. We've got the Constitution teaches us that God wants you to be free and not in bondage to money. Amen. So today, I want to talk about this hot topic. Yay! It's really funny because in the Northeast, you start talking about finances in church and people get uptight. I remember in the old days, they used to say to me, all you want is their money. Listen, my salary is not generated by me. My salary is generated by the trustees, and by IRS law, I can't even be in the room when they do it. I have no say in what I make. Someone says, well, you know, you got a Harley. You must be pulling that out of the till. Listen, I don't see the money. I can't touch the money. You saw these guys up here. I don't dare to touch them. They would hurt me. You know, they take the money. They bind the money. They have counters, but the counters cannot be relatives. They cannot be individuals that are relatives within each other. Everything's done legally according to IRS law. I never see a physical dollar. I never write a check. Listen, I think I signed one check this year. Everything else is a stamp. Good old Carla runs the world. Shoosh. It's amazing to realize the foolishness that's out there about finances in the church. Well, you know, the church, they don't pay any taxes. That's stupid. You just don't know what you're talking about. If you're saying the church don't pay taxes, the only thing we don't pay in taxes, we don't pay land tax. Other than that, we pay taxes just like everybody else. Dear Lord, man, if you're a pastor, you're paying not just W-2, but you're also paying 1099. People just don't know. And what happens is all these lies have been perpetuated within the body of Christ. And now it's out in the world. And the world just looks at the church and saying, we just want your money. Listen now, keep your money. You're not giving me a dime. This is about kingdom. So when you understand next level finances, when you understand how God's kingdom runs, then you're given to the king. You're not given to the church. I said, you're given to the king, you're not given to the church. When you grasp this, everything changes in your life. When you learn this principle, then it's not about you and I. Well, you know, I got to give some money at church. You're not giving money anyways. You're giving your life. You got money because you sold your life. If you're a worker, raise your hand. If you work, you sell yourself every day for a wage. Listen, we're prostitutes in a sense. We sell ourselves for money. Say amen or oh my. You have sold yourself. Some of you sell yourself at minimum wage. Some of you sell yourself at $100 an hour. But whatever it is where you sell yourself, you're still selling yourself. When you come up and you put your tithe in the offering plate, you're not putting money in the offering plate. You're putting 10% of your life that you gave to somebody else in the offering plate and declaring that God is your source. See, understanding and putting these principles together, money is not a devil. Money is not evil. Well, money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, you know, I don't want God to give me too much because, you know, I don't want to become evil. I want you to know something. If you become evil because you got money, you were already evil. Money just gave you the opportunity to show it. Money is neither good or bad. Money is just a way of exchange. And God knew, though, that the fact is that money plays a large part in our lives and always has from the beginning of time, that if we are not controlling the money in the aspect of it not controlling us, then we can actually make it a god in our life. Do you remember the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, I obey all these laws. You know, what more should I do? So Jesus looked at him and said, go sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. Follow me. And the Bible said it was too hard of a saying. And he walked away sad. You know why he walked away sad? Because he loved mammon more than he loved the master. Let me ask you a question. If God asked you to give everything up tomorrow and follow him, could you do it? If you can't do it, then mammon is your god.
Money is more powerful than Satan. Say it again. Money is more powerful than Satan. How do we know that? Well, Satan is already defeated. Jesus said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, I made an open show of him. So the devil's already defeated, but mammon plays a large part in our life. And so many of us place more value in money than we do value in God. We show that through our life. Everybody here has a core value. Turn to somebody and say, I have core values. Don't tell me your core values. I can show you your core values. Where you put your time and your money are truly what you absolutely believe. When I'm working with churches, it's amazing to me. How many of them say to me, well, we're an outreach church. So the first question I'm going to ask them is, how much money did you spend on outreach last year? Well, you know, we were a little short, so we really didn't spend much. No, that's not your core value. There are churches that say, my core value is the children's ministry, but they spend no money in their children's ministry. That's not a core value. That's a desire to have a core value. But if you don't put your time or your money in it, then it really isn't what you believe. Amen. You don't mind me being frank, do you? Or Larry or Sam. Just going to tell it the way it is. Because I think that what's happened in the Northeast, and I'm going to tap the Northeast, because it's true, I can preach this message in the South and never have a quandary. There's no one that's ever going to give me a second look. But you preach it in the North, and everybody thinks you're after their pocketbook. And again, my statement to you is, if that's what you actually believe, keep it, because you're not giving to us anyways. You're not our source. God is our source. God's desire and the power of breaking debt in our life comes to an element of learning obedience. Turn to someone and say, obedience is better than sacrifice. If you'll turn with me to the book of Malachi, or if you're Italian, Malachi, chapter 3, 10 through 12 says this, bring all the tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there's not room enough to receive. And I, God's talking now, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. God is being very clear. Here it is, verse 12. And all the nations will call you blessed. For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You know, for years it went across saying that if you were poor, you were spiritual. I want you to know that if I'm going to be spiritual, I'd rather have money than not have money. How many of you have been poor, man? It's been hard to even feed yourself. How many of you got a little bit of money now and it's all right? How many of you rather have the little bit of money than no money? Amen. How many of you had a lot of money? Jeez, mark them, Lord. No, I'm just kidding. I've had both little. When I started our church up in Newfield, New York, I was making literally, not exaggerating, $10 a week full time. I had to drive school bus in Newfield to be able to feed my family, to be able to have a place to live. I didn't have much. Listen, if it wasn't for shooting deer, you could not like deer, but I had to have deer or I couldn't have fed my family. And eating spaghetti, thank God for pasta, Jesus. If I didn't have that, man, my kids wouldn't have had anything. The fact is that it was so tight, man. It wasn't just tight. I couldn't hardly do anything. I remember my first allowance I ever had was $5 a week as an adult. Amen. My wife said, I'm going to give you $5 a week. I don't get anything, but I'm giving you $5 a week so you can buy a coffee if you want one. And I was thankful for $5 a week. But I thank God, can I hear an amen, that I don't have to have $5 a week anymore. I thank God that I've got something, but I didn't get something by taking it from somebody. I got something because I learned God's principles and started applying them to my life. And as I've applied them to my life, the Lord said he will rebuke the devourer. The Lord said my land will be delightful. The Lord said that the nations will notice. And people always listen now. You'll always hear this in this community. Ready? Well, you know, that pastor, all they want is your money. I love hearing that. Do you want to know why? Because I asked God, God bless me so much in the selling of my books. God bless me so much in all the things that I do on the side besides pastoring, that God, it's going to draw the attention of the world to say, man, he's got some money. He must be stealing it from the church. I want the world to know that I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I want the world to know that I'm not squandering. I want the world to know that I'm not just making it by. I want God to bless me. I want God to pour his blessings out in every aspect of my life. And I want you to know that God will, because you're a citizen of heaven. You're a son and daughter of the Most High King. You're an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to talk about money, because God does. It was Jesus's favorite topic. No, listen now, he talked more about money than he did about heaven or hell, because he knew how powerful it was going to be in people's lives. He knew that it would become mammon or power in people. Somebody walked up to my wife one day and said, she was in Walmart, her daughter came to the church and said, all right, I just wanted to listen. My wife was like walking down an aisle in Walmart. This lady walks up and says, all right, you don't know me, but I want to know this 10% stuff. You know, why are you telling my daughter she's got to give 10%? And my wife looked at her and said, the Bible says bring your tithe to the Lord. Tithe means tenth. And the lady went, oh. I'm not making anything up. I mean, these are God's principles. Turn to someone and say, this is God's principles. No, I didn't say God's principles. I said, God's principles. You got to get a little oomph in there. Amen. There you go. You're learning. Tithing did not start with the church. Tithing started all the way back in Genesis chapter 14. Abram had just rescued his nephew Lot. And on the way back, he met a priest from the order of Melchizedek. He met Melchizedek, who was a priest with no beginning and no end. He's a type of Christ. And in Genesis chapter 14, we see that Abram, who was very, very wealthy, turned around and gave a tenth of all that he had to Melchizedek as an offering to the Lord. You see, that's the very first time we see tithing in the Bible. Then we see Isaac tithing. We see Jacob tithing. We see tithing is a normal part of the patriarchs. How many of you have ever recognized that there was not one poor patriarch in the Bible? Not one. All of them were blessed so much that there was so much money that literally they were known all over their region as being people that God was on their side because of the blessings they had going in and blessings they had going out. Jacob, he followed these same principles of Abraham, and what we found was as he tithed in Genesis 28 verse 22, when he had left, because remember his brother Esau was trying to kill him, when he left, he had nothing, but he committed to tithe. And as he tithed, when he came back, he had so much there was not even room in the region that he was in. You see, the fact is that when we learn to obey God, turn to someone and say, obey God. We don't like to talk about that now. We want our kids to obey us. Whoop, Jesus. Now, listen, I'm going to tell something private real quick. I'm in my office this morning, and I heard my daughter-in-law take my grandchild into the bathroom and lay down some love. Ah! Lay down some love. And I'm sitting there going, I like that. Well, why do I like that? Well, because we're going to raise that child to be obedient. You ever met a disobedient child? They might be sitting next to you in their 50. Whoa, Jesus. Come on, pick your feet up and say, oh my. Never learn to obey. Well, I don't want to obey. Duh. Who wants to obey? Isn't that the principle of obedience? The Bible says if you're not taught to obey, you're no more than a bastard, is what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11. Means you don't have a dad. Means you don't have anybody who cares for you. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs if you're not disciplined, then you are not loved. Listen, we're being disciplined by living a life of obedience. Do you think I always want to pay my tithe? Wouldn't it be much nicer? Listen, I just cut a check this morning. I came back from Chicago. I worked with the church. Listen, now that is a separate business, and I charge well. I don't charge little. I charge well. I make sure that they're paying my nice airline ticket. I make sure they feed me as much as I want. And I make sure that I lay down a price that makes me happy when I fly home at 10 o'clock at night. This morning, it was not an issue, not a question. I sat down and wrote a check, and I not only put a tithe in there, but I put a seed in there. Why do I do that? Because I've learned through the principles of obedience that if you make a dollar, you tithe a dime. If you make $10, you tithe a buck. Can I hear an amen? You make $100, you tithe $10. You make $1,000, you tithe $100. And the principles of obedience are so powerful that I know that I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. And if you see my life, it's not about how much money you make. It's about how you learn how to use it. And you find that God will bless you in areas that you can't even conceive because you've learned how to walk in a life of obedience. Turn to someone and say, I love obedience. Now you got to repent. Amen. Say amen. Life of obedience is so powerful. So tithing is something that, listen now, it didn't start. People tell me this all the time. Well, you know, that's Old Testament. No. This was 400 years before the law came into practice. So this is not something new. You'll find that the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, it says that men give tithe to men, talking about the church. And he's talking about the priesthood. And it said in the book of Matthew, men ought to tithe. It's a good thing to tithe. You're supposed to tithe. So this whole mentality that tithing isn't for today is absolute foolishness. And what it's done, let me tell you what it's done as people have bought it and people that don't tithe. It's always going to keep you tethered to where you're at. Now, I know people that are very wealthy. I know Brother Avanzini, extremely wealthy. I know a lot of other people, extremely wealthy people. I hang around with them. Listen, I've learned this. Never shop with them. Never shop with a wealthy person. I remember I was shopping with a friend of mine down in Florida who's sold his company for $80 million. And so I went shopping with him that afternoon. And as I went shopping with him, I walked to go get a Robert Graham shirt. Anybody know Robert Graham? Went to go get me a Robert. I know, we live in the North. I went to go get a Robert Graham shirt. And, you know, they're not cheap. You know, when they're on sale, they're about $150. And I decided, you know, my wife gave me permission. I said, my wife gave me permission. Hey, you can go buy a shirt. So I walked in, man, and I found a shirt. And my buddy says, well, you know, there's a sale. And I said, well, I only got permission to buy one. He goes, oh, you can't just buy one. I said, what do you mean? He says, listen, it's a sale. Now, listen, now he just sold his company for $80 million. So I said, well, okay, let me call my wife. Called Rhonda, and Rhonda says, hey, it's a sale. You know, buy two. She's thinking, you know, sale. So I said to him, I says, you know, why don't you pick it out? Well, I'm in the dressing room, and he hands me a shirt. Oh, it's nice. I'll wear it. It's the purple and gold one. I put that purple and gold one on. I said, oh, Jesus, that's a nice shirt. Oh, my God. I walked up to the register. That shirt was $450. But I had permission. So she found out later. My wife had just completed her brand new book, and I said, I'm going to buy her a Mont Blanc pen. If you don't know what that is, we live in the North. Mont Blanc pen. So I decided to go buy a Mont Blanc pen. So we walked into the Mont Blanc store. Remember, you never shop with a rich guy. And I walked over, and they, you know, they have the base ones, you know, they're like $250 writing instrument. They're not called a pen, writing instrument. So I had saved money, and I had that $250 for that writing instrument. And he looks at me, and he goes, listen now, you know, it's pretty cheap to do for your wife who just wrote her first book. I mean, you should at least bless her a little bit more than that. Well, I had extra money, but I had a purpose for that, you know, Harley parts. And so I decided at that moment, you know, maybe I should buy her a nicer one. So I looked at the $300 ones and I, you know, he goes, you know, they're really not feminine. You know, she deserves, you know, she wrote her first book. Never shop with the rich guy. Yeah, it was an expensive day. But I've learned that money is all about perspective. Every one of you in this room is one thought away from being a millionaire. Literally one thought. I can prove it. You ready? Handkerchiefs. Plastic spoons. Happy socks. That's what they're called. They're happy socks. Some dude created happy socks. I saw him on TV the other day. Very wealthy man. Ready? Buttons. Anybody have a button? You are one. Listen, glasses, the stinking little screw right here in this corner. Everybody in this room, God wants you blessed. You and I are one thought away from being a millionaire. But the fact is that when you look at this text in the book of Malachi, it says that God will open the windows of heaven so that you will be able to see a blessing or get a blessing. Listen, has anybody here ever, I love this, Bishop taught me this one. Has anybody ever here ever had seen water pour in a window from above? That means you got a skylight. How many of you know that's not good? What are windows for? They're to look out. You see, when you start being a tither and start living a life of obedience, God is going to start giving you vision and creative ideas. God's going to put you in a position where he's going to posture you to actually have more finances. Why? So that you can have more? Yes, God wants you blessed. It's okay to drive a Mercedes-Benz. Do you know that Christians nowadays, they hide the cars that they drive? They don't want people to think any different of them. Why, aren't you a Christian? Listen now, I don't care whether you're driving a Zuzu. I don't care whether you drive, what are those little, baby, what's your car? A Chevy Spark. My motorcycle is bigger than your car. It's not about what you drive, but there's nothing wrong with what you drive. There's nothing wrong with wearing an expensive shirt or wearing holes in your socks. It's not about the money, it's about your perspective. And it's about learning to live a life of obedience with God. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Amen. So listen now, what does tithing do for me? And this is something that's so important because we all ask that question. You know, listen now, you write a check out and literally with what we tithe every single month, we could have another car, or we could have another thing, another amenity, we could do something else a little bit more fun, but we tithe every time because God's called us to tithe. The word of God is so very clear, the tithe is holy to the Lord, which means it's God's money, it's not your money. The tithe is not yours to spend, it's God's money. I got a few people saying amen. It's not your money, it's God's money. Well, I'll tithe if I've got something left over. No, 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 you're not getting it. That's not yours. When we learn this principle, we learn how to live in God's mentality and in God's plan. You see, the fact is that God wants to be part of your finances. And I want you to realize, people say to me, well, if I tithe, I mean really tithe, am I going to have anything left over? I got some examples for you here in the end that I really want you to hear. Because there are very wealthy people that you and I participate with really almost every single day or in the vicinity of a month that are wealthy because they've learned this same principle and they've applied it to their lives. How many here are tithers? No, don't raise your hand. How many here, if you've been a tither, you've seen God's blessing in your life? Amen. The average American church, only 8% of the people tithe. So if you have 100 people, only 8 people are tithers in a church of 100. That's the average in America. In our church, it's 15. So for every 100 people, 15 people tithe at His Tabernacle Family Church. What's amazing to me is learning where we can teach you God's principles and you step into a life of obedience. And when you do, you'll find God's blessing is there. This is the only time in the scripture that God actually says, try me in this thing. If it doesn't work, don't believe God. It's the only place in the scripture that God says, try me in this thing. Listen, sinners do this and it works for sinners because God's principles are yea and amen. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, God's job is to bless you to where you are going to be an example to other people, and you'll always have more than enough. I don't want just enough. I want more than enough. If you only have enough for you, that is the most selfish prayer you can ever pray. How can you help somebody else if all you have enough is to survive with? God has called us to be blessers as he is. For God so loved the world that he gave. That is the nature of God. Real quickly, ready? Now, listen now, tithing is a lot like pie. So I love Buddy. So I'm making Buddy a pie. Look at that pie. It's a blueberry pie. So I made Buddy a pie, and, you know, I represent God. Well, you know, God didn't give me anything. Oh, really? Do you got legs? Oh, really? Do you have talent? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Everything you are is who God made you to be. Oh, you don't believe that? Well, watch him take it away and see what happens. Listen now. If God took away your time, your talent, and your energy, what would you be able to produce? So if God is all in all, then why in the world would you say he didn't give you what you got? So here I am, I'm giving Buddy. I know Buddy loves pie. So I'm giving Buddy a pie. Here, Buddy, enjoy your pie. It's a lot of pie. Do you want some help? Well, it's up to you. It's your pie. You want Cole to come help you eat that? V&A? You want V&A to help you? And Ashley? Okay. So, you know, I gave you a pie. You know, you can do with whatever you want with it. You know, it's yours. You're to be a good steward, though, so be a good sharer. God so loved the world that he gave. So don't just keep it for yourself. Yeah. Here we go. That's good, man. I appreciate that you're sharing. Yeah, eat that thing. Bless it, Lord Jesus. You might need some more help, buddy. You got to eat it all, like right now. You're going to mess up my example. Buddy, you got the smallest part of the pie.
Are you serious?
Baby, you better eat. Any more people? Any more people? Who else going to come help? Come on up here, kid. Hurry up, real quick. Quick. He has no problem having more pie.
I have him.
Yep, give him pie. Here you go. Here you go. Eat, devour that thing. You're a good sharer. Yes, you are. Who else wants to help with the pie? Oh, here we go. Jump on up there. Here we go. Share with the pie. There you go. You ain't no fool. Girl, you can eat. Jesus. You're going to get that on you. Hurry up. Somebody else eat some pie. Come on now. You can take it down with you. Just don't drop it on the floor. Now, so Buddy, hurry up, Buddy. Stink and eat the pie. Messing up my example. Are you done?
Mm-hmm.
Now Buddy's done with his pie. Now Buddy has a choice. If I gave him the pie, I made him a pie. I'm God. I made Buddy a pie and gave him the pie. Now he ate the pie. Now Buddy has a choice. What's Buddy going to do with the pie plate? Buddy has the opportunity to give me back the pie plate, which would be the tithe. Or Buddy has the opportunity to keep his pie plate. Now watch, if Buddy keeps the pie plate, whose turn is it to make the pie? But if Buddy gives me back the pie plate, whose turn is it to make the pie? Mine. When you do not tithe, whose turn is it to show up if you have a problem? So all of a sudden you start having money problems. Now, don't tell me. I watched a man lose over $300,000 in just one moment. I literally watched him slump over in his chair as the stocks at Corning dropped out the bottom. I watched him as he had tears in his eyes as he showed me how much money he lost in that moment. With the crash in the 2007? We got all of these crashes. Now, everyone's all convenient and set, all settled in what they've got. But the fact is, you can lose that in a moment. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Grid could go down tomorrow in America, and it don't matter how much money you got. Because you can't get it out. It's in a bank. Fact is that we are putting our trust in things that you and I don't, we are foolish to put our trust in. We're to put our trust in God. Can I hear an amen? And what tithing does is tithing postures God. Tithing postures God, so if buddy gives me the plate, I'm going to go make him another pie. Well, you know, how is God going to make a pie? Do you really care how God makes a pie? I've watched God bring pie through the mail. I've watched God bring pie through somebody walking up and giving me a handshake and there was money in their hand. I watched somebody who was not even born again. Listen, I watched a man who was not even born again look at me and say, you know, preacher, I've watched you. You're not a pseudo preacher. You know, and I know you need some more money for closing. I'll give it to you. Pay me when you can. Wasn't even born again. He'll bring the wealth of the wicked laid up for the righteous. But if you've got your pie tin, people say it to me all the time. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm really in a bad spot. First question, ready? Are you a tither? When they say no, my head goes, duh. Because then it's your turn. But the Bible says that God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. God says that he will go to work for you and that God's blessings are yea and amen and that God wants to pour out his blessing upon you more than you can even think and or imagine. But God can't do that if you don't take the first step of obedience and step into being a tither. Can I hear an amen? Listen, there's a man named Mr. Curry. At 14 years old, he was saved under D.L. Moody's ministry. He became a faithful church attender immediately. He read a book and where he read that Jacob made a commitment to God, and this is what it says in Genesis 28:22. Of all that you give me, I will sure you give you a tenth. That's what it says in Genesis. That's Jacob's statement to God. He saw that when Jacob made the commitment that he had done, but when he returned home, one of the richest men of the world of that time, he decided to do the same thing, and he made a commitment to God to tithe 10%. He lived by Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Proverbs 3:10. So show shall your barns be filled with plenty. They press shall burst forth with new wine. He started in debt with many obligations, but he started doing this. Within 3 months, he started seeing financial change in his life. And then, with capital organized by Kerr Glass Manufacturing Company, he became one of the largest firms in selling fruit jars. Millionaire, fruit jars. When an earthquake hit California, everything was being decimated and fires had broken out because of the earthquake. His friends, who were unbelievers, called him up and mocked him and said, everything that you built is now going to be destroyed. The report came back that everything was destroyed all around him, but not even the white picket fence was burned in his company. God rebuke the devourer. There's a man named Robert Laidlaw. At 18, he decided to give 10% out of obedience to the Lord. Out of what? Obedience to the Lord. At the age of 20, he wrote in his diary, before money gets a grip on my heart, by the grace of God, I will enter into the following pledge with my Lord. I will give 10% of all that I earn up to. If the Lord blesses me with, I will bless him with 15%. Here's the end story. Ready? At the age of 25, he changed it and graduated his commitment to give 50% of his income to God. You ready? He became one of the wealthiest men in all of New Zealand. How about Hobby Lobby? Has anybody ever been there? Hobby Lobby, 1970, David took a $600 loan. He and his family began assembling and selling miniature frame picture frames from his garage. Within 2 years, they were able to open their, their own 300 square foot store. The company has grown exponentially since. Today, Hobby Lobby has over 700 stores, and it reached $4 billion in revenue. David has taken the same salary for the past 11 years under his direction. Hobby Lobby, get now, Hobby Lobby gives away roughly 50% of pre-taxed revenue to the kingdom of God. How about Chick-fil-A? Listen, Pastor Obi and I had Chick-fil-A at the airport the other day. Chick-fil-A! They're overwhelmingly wealthy. How did they get that way? He's a tither. Kentucky Fried Chicken. They just built a new one just down the street. I can't wait to go. Jesus is good. A tither. At 70 years old, God dropped an idea in his heart, and he became a billionaire. He tithed. Listen, some of you are saying, well, I don't have billions, but you got to start somewhere. Because God's plan, listen, they had all the money they needed, but so did Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was not a man of God. He was not a tither. He was not a giver. Let me tell you something that it does. And not only puts God in a position to rebuke the devourer, but also being a tither gives you an open heaven. You might not need more money, but you always need an open heaven. When you get sick or your family gets sick, you need an open heaven. Can I hear an amen? When all of a sudden you have an emotional situation, you need God to show up. Can I hear an amen? You need an open heaven, and tithing opens the open heaven. What's the benefits? Number one, the vision that you're sitting in to reach more people for Jesus can grow. Number two, God's financial blessing will be released in your life. Number three, God will rebuke and protect the finances of every single believer who tithes. Four, you are tapping divine's source. And I want you to know, when you've got nothing, God will show up with something. When Terry and Kayla needed $20,000 to start their new business, someone gave them $30,000. They gave their way out of debt. That you heard the testimony, they had a choice, feed their children or tithe. They tithed, and God blessed them so abundantly that now they have a brand new business. I want you to hear me now. Tithing protects the other 90% from the thief called the devil. I would rather have 90% blessed by God because I'm a tither than 100% cursed because I've chosen to keep my own pie plate. Tithing is not an option for you as a believer. How many of you believe in salvation? How many believe if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved? How many believe that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved? How many believe that the blood of Jesus is the only way to wash your sins away? Then you've also got to believe in tithing, because it's in the same book. You can't take what you want in or out of it. You obey it all. I said, amen. One more time. Amen. Shout, I'm a tither. I'm a tither. Some of you are prophesying. Don't be a prophet liar now. Be a prophesier. Shout, I'm a tither. Some of you are going to have to step out in faith. Some of you are just going to simply have to believe God. And some of you are still offended. Listen, I'm okay. Let the word offend you. Because I'm just telling what the Bible says. Yay. Shout, I'm a tither. Amen. I'm not a prophet liar. Amen. I can't wait to see you more blessed. You know what I love? Was it last week? 2 weeks ago when we started giving for the parking lot? I love the fact that I was able to write a $1,000 check. But I can't wait to write my first $10,000 check. I can't wait to write a $100,000 check. Listen, I can't wait, because when I write that, man, I know the blessings of God are just going to keep coming back at me. I mean, I'll give God. Can I hear an amen? My grandmother, I told you the story before, but my grandmother who lived on $500 a month Social Security, you are in this building because that old lady, she tithed every week and then she sewed $5 into this place when we first started out. You're either owned by your money, controlled by your money, or you're submitted to God with your money. Here's the question, ready? If he told you to sell everything tomorrow and follow him, would you or could you? I want you to hear me. If God told me to sell everything I have tomorrow, I've already done it 3 times. It's not that big of a deal. Because if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. But some of you, you couldn't do it. Just like that rich young ruler, you can't do it. Because you're owned by your money. You're owned by your wealth. You're owned. Listen, that wealth could be $50 in the bank. Money's relative. Wealth is relative. The point is, if God asks for it, will you give it? If God directs you, are you owned by that or are you owned by him? Do you trust your money or do you trust God? This is where it comes down to. And every one of us are in the same boat because wealth is relative. You can never be owned by money. Amen. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm a tither. Tell somebody else I'm a tither. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for your principles. They are yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all completed. Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus that, Father, this house, your people, I know how much you want to bless them. Lord, your word declares how much you want to bless them. Their eyes have not seen, their ears have not heard, their heart cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love him. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that millionaires will be created out of this room. That, Lord, people that are tithers will have creative ideas. They'll start new companies. Lord, they'll open up the windows of heaven, and that, Father, you pour out a blessing they cannot even contain. I declare in the name of Jesus that from this house we'll have people and companies so large that Jesus will employ the region for the glory of God. And Lord, just like Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A, just like all these others, we'll make the declaration, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Lord, I thank you that this church will never have a want, will never have a need. Lord, when we see a vision, we'll be able to jump right out at it. God, whenever there's something that needs to be done, Lord, we won't even need to come to the congregation. Lord, because there are so much givers, Father, there'll be so much money, we'll have to look for places to give it away. By the way, that's what you spoke to us by 3 prophets at 3 different times. Lord, I decree that in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to draw the attention of the world, that they'll see that the church doesn't have to be poor and poverty stricken, but that God, we can be through the hand of heaven, successful people who proclaim the power and the goodness of our God. In Jesus' name, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, somebody said to me, how can you give a salvation message after a message on tithing? It's easy. Why? Because it all comes down to the same value. Is God your Lord or is money your Lord? See, today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you can't buy your way into heaven. Listen, when you die, everything you got, you can put it on your finger, even in the, I've seen that. They put money in, I've seen them put money in the casket. I've seen them put rings on the fingers of the people in the casket, but when it's closed, they're still not using it. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a person give in exchange for their soul? Some of you have traded God for such foolish little things, even your own opinions. Ooh. Some of you, you think your opinions are that powerful, but you'll trade your soul for your own opinion. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you'd like him to be the Lord of your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Is there anyone here that needs Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life? Not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, and last call. And, oh, thank you in the back. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you over on this side as well. Listen, you're making an exchange today that is so powerful. You're changing your sin to become a son and daughter of God. You can't beat that. Did I do all right with this sermon? Did it make sense? How many of you want to be poor? How many of you want to be blessed? Shout it out loud. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm a tither. I said, I'm a tither. Father, I just speak blessing on your body in the name of Jesus. I declare God will all be evidence that heaven's word is truth. That, Lord, we'll all have more than enough to be able to give to every situation and every need that's needed. I declare in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you'll prosper us in all things and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. I declare in the name of Jesus that we will increase in every aspect of our life for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody believing it, shouted. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you raise your hand for salvation, please meet me down front right here. I'd love to pray with you. Have an awesome week. Serve God with all of your heart. My girl.
We make your praise.